Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. A hard cut from Ryan on the intro. He doesn't like that fadeaway stuff. He likes you to know the show has begun. So yes, it is me, Ryan, here with the Mark Order Podcast. I am here all night tonight, not just for the beginning. As you've noticed, there is no Kate. She's usually the one to intro. However, this time she's not big timing us. I will give her whatever. She is nursing a sick dog all day, so I understand. But I am joined by my co-host with the co-most, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. I'm here. Back weeks. I won't be here next week, but I'm here this week.
Guess who's back. You're not going to be here next week?
No.
I'm just teasing you. It's in Omaha. It's in Peyton Manning.
Yes. I'm just glad that that card looks a lot better than what tonight's card looks like. So.
Yeah. Wait, Scott George is saying I'm no fun. I disagree. I'm tons of fun.
Ryan is fun sized. Yeah.
Sad but true. Mm. But not the good fun size, the bad fun size. But yes, we were chatting before the show. You were saying that AEW actually advertised.
Yeah, it's one of the things I noticed. That they were in the area, my area, last fall, and they really didn't do much promotion until maybe a week before they sent Jeff Jarrett out to do some radio interviews. But that was about it. This time around, they've been advertising for a couple months or at least a month or two with, you know, social media sponsored ads, radio commercials. So they've really put a effort into it this time around.
Good. I mean, that's always been their problem. They don't advertise well. It's like everyone says they don't do the local media. They don't do the local stuff that still is important. I don't think we realize that. Like, I don't think I'm going to revelation here, but I think with the fact that we don't watch standard TV anymore, people believe like, oh yeah, we don't need that local stuff, but we don't realize how much just even the ads we see online have like some regional flair to them. Like there are. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. And I'm glad they're coming into Omaha proper. So that'll be.
Omaha.
What's new with you?
Not much. I was trying to think of another Omaha joke and I got nothing.
I mean, it's usually Peyton Manning, Counting Crows. Well, so what Omaha references are there?
That's it.
Yeah. Wow. I said Counting Crows and you didn't start singing. You've really shown growth.
You know, the problem was this winter, it was a long December.
It's not the song. You sing Omaha.
I don't know that one, to be honest with you.
Wow. You have homework.
I mean, I liked the Crows, but I wasn't like a Crows follower.
To listen to it and sing it next week in the post show.
Yeah, I mean, okay. But when Kate starts complaining, you have to take responsibility for this.
I will. My request.
Okay. It was your request that I sing Omaha. I'll probably forget, but I'll do my best to remember.
Oh, we've got Mike Pierce in the chat, Scott George in the chat, the Brocast. Hello, folks.
Oh, look at you shouting out the chat.
Someone has to.
I was getting there. I was making sure my notes froze, so I was trying to pull them up.
No, you're no fun, and you're not funny, apparently.
Oh, that's just rude. Yeah.
Big G, Slipknot, I believe, did have an album called Iowa, so they're from Iowa.
But that's not Omaha.
No, we're very different. We're very anti-Iowa over here.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
I might always cracked. But are you, Omaha's very anti-Iowa?
They're like a big rival to Nebraska.
I guess those Midwest states have to have someone as a rival.
Just waving our corn cobs, seeing who has the biggest corn cob, you know, whatever.
You know, whip out those corn cobs.
Fully husked. Yeah.
But, you know, I support the corn cob competitions. So how was your week?
It's been good. I had some sleepless nights, the last couple of nights after. I feel like the pay-per-view threw everything off. Having it on a Sunday night just kind of throws off my whole sleep schedule ever since then. And I felt that one went long, so.
It sure did. I mean, I don't like Sunday pay-per-views for that reason. You're up till, you know, after midnight just on the pay-per-view. Well, you're not. You were after 11 because you're on Central Time. But the rest of us after midnight. But wait, does Nebraska do daylight savings?
Yeah, but not Arizona.
I forget which states. Suddenly random states aren't doing it. So I forget which ones do and don't. So yeah, it's just a pain in the ass. Now, speaking of the pay-per-view, one, it was a good pay-per-view overall. I think most people would say 90% of it was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's probably two general criticisms that aren't like not deal breaker criticisms, but like just little nitpicks that people have probably that maybe are the majority, which would be the main event spot. And then maybe trimming some of the matches out, like the tag title match or the, Brody Okada match. I get why it was there, but you know, it's just one of those matches that could have been a collision match.
So I'm not one to like complain about the length of a pay-per-view if it's on a Saturday, because again, Saturdays you stay up late, you sleep in on a Sunday, it's wonderful. On a Sunday, I do think there needs to be a bit of a, if you're going to run a Sunday one, you got to be mindful that one match, removing one match would have really helped. Though then again, cutting down the main event by 10 minutes would have really helped.
Or the, you know, the Jericho thing that really didn't do much.
Well, that was pre-show though.
That's true.
That was, I mean, that stuff doesn't bother me when it's on 0 hour. Some people had a lot of problems with that. I was like, it's 0 hour. You don't have to watch it. So Big G saying the Mercedes match should not have been longer than the Tony Mariah match. The only thing I'm going to say to that, Big G, is in principle, you're right, except for the type of matches they had kind of lent to a shorter match. Like that was a rough, tough match for Mariah and Tony. I could almost see them being like, you guys are going to be brutalizing each other. Keep this one short. Like you're both going to be bleeding. You don't want to extend that too long. Like it almost felt like that one was shorter. You know, because they of the nature of the match. I got hello to LT photo and plug hello saying he missed his invite to the B-Day party last week. No, you turned it down, is from what I understand. You specifically turned it down, and that hurts my feelings.
Plug that doesn't sound so, like
okay. Hey, it did. It's exactly what he did. He said, screw you guys, I'm going home. You know, that was what he said. I don't know why he said it, but it is what he said. Well, see?
If you extend the invite, you probably send it to Plug-O and not Plug-O.
Well, I didn't extend any of the invites. That was Kate. The surprise was for me. But, you know, he hates me, and that's what he said. But yeah, so let me ask your opinion. So do you think Mariah Tony should have been longer as a match? I was fine with the length based on the brutality of it.
No, I think you're spot on. I didn't feel like it was short. I felt like there was so much going on in that match. You had so many crazy little spots where it was, you know, tables and glass and blood. And I guess the story of the match kept me from thinking about how long or how short the match was. I was invested regardless.
Yeah, it was. I liked it a lot. I'm not a big, so this has nothing to do, because I know some people were complaining, oh, they don't like the blood on the women and all that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not a big, I have my limit on those matches. So,
you have a lot of blood review, like back to back to back.
So luckily theirs was kind of like the first, but by the end, so by like Ospreys, I was kind of like, dudes, we're bleeding a lot. Like, can we kick this back? But also, because I'm not big on that, I like a short match. Like I could take it in that spurt. And also, to be quite fair, I might have felt a little differently, but it reminded me of Cody versus Dustin from their first pay-per-view, when it felt like, how much is Tony gonna bleed? And it was like, how much is Dustin gonna bleed? Like, it was almost like too much. Like, some, and that's not that I think it's wrong. I get like nervous. I'm like, you know, that's a lot of blood. Is she gonna be all right? Like, now clearly she is. It's just like the worrier in me comes out. It's like, it's an awful lot of blood someone's losing. I remember thinking that in Cody versus Dustin, as amazing as that match was, being like, he's losing a lot of blood. Like, now granted, it's all surface level, whatever. But the other question I have for you is, it's been the main talking point coming out of the pay-per-view. What were your thoughts on the main event?
It shouldn't have main evented, first of all. It was, I don't know if I want to say overbooked with everything, with the Christian involvement, because I think a lot of us thought Christian would get involved, but not to how it played out, where it kind of seemed like a vehicle to get the contract out of his hands. The match was fine, but now we're just going to run it back next week in a street fight. So I'm knowing that we're going to have a rematch this soon, makes me feel like the main event Sunday wasn't worth as much. I don't know. That's just kind of my initial thought. Just having a rematch so fast after the last match felt like it devalued it.
It does. I'm not a fan of that at all. I don't know if they're doing that for reasons, like maybe something changed and they had to throw him. But yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all. We got in under Papa Squat, but it's Tony from The Shining Wizard saying here there's another tournament, and Tony loves tournaments.
Famously
just thinks they're the greatest thing of all time. I actually do enjoy a tournament.
Tony Tournament. That's his name.
Yeah. I mean, I won't lie to you, I actually do enjoy tournaments. So I don't, you know, it's you know, what the hell. But I do accept that this one seems unnecessary.
The tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it has Tony's favorite wrestling pockets, so you know.
He does love Orange Cassidy too.
He really does. Big fan.
He loves, you know, tournaments and Orange Cassidy, so it was made for him. But I, you know, Orange Cassidy was one of the neatest, coolest attempts at a pin tonight that I've seen. So, but you know, but back to the main event, I'm of the opinion that the match wasn't as bad as people think it was. It's that it was where it was on the card. It was the least interesting of the match. Like, there was a couple matches that could have been Tony Storm and Mariah should have been main event. We got to establish that that's what everyone wanted. That was the match with the most story behind it. But even like Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher had more heat and more feeling behind it than the Death Riders won.
Yeah.
They would have been better off. The match might be more positively looked on if it was before Tony and Mariah, where people wouldn't have been like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, how are you going to have a Hollywood ending match to end a blood feud of this long told story and not have a main event in Hollywood? It made no sense to me.
That's what, like, my whole thing is, like, you have, what's the point? It was perfect. Like, they even had the end, and it was just, And it was the match. To me, I'm a big fan of, like, I know not every pay-per-view, the match with the most fan engagement is going to headline. Like, sometimes it's just the way it lines up. You can't help it. You don't realize it has it and whatever. But it was so clear that this was the story of the pay-per-view. This was the one everyone talked about. This is the one everyone cared about. And then you put it where, like, it didn't even open. Like, which I understand, that's a rough match to open with, so I understand why they didn't. But it was just kind of in the middle. It's like, mm-hmm. Mox versus Copeland felt more like a middle of the card match than that. The finish didn't help the main event either, because it was odd. I laughed, to be quite honest, when I saw what was happening. I mean, truth be told, they just had to get that contract out of Christian's hands. I think they had a good idea there, and it just, they didn't know what to do with it. And they just had to get rid of it. Almost becomes like an albatross across, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it's a sort of Damocles above your head. Like, what are you going to do? So to have him get caught in a submission as he was about to win is a funny thing to happen. And the story they're going with it is pretty interesting. But it was also just so kind of convoluted, which fits this storyline in the worst way, that I laughed. I'm like, gee, mm-hmm. like, you couldn't just give me. Quite honestly, Copeland losing straight up would have been the best call. Like, make it so that Mox, like, I don't know. I'm one of these guys that it doesn't work for all heel champs, but Mox is one of the heel champs where it would work for, which is like, he cheats, and you think, all right, I finally prevented him from cheating, and then he beats you straight up because he's still that good. Like, there is a thing there where you can make that a story of, like, we can't even beat him when he's not cheating, so that the guy who does beat him gets, like, the credit of being, like, the guy who can do it. Instead, it's like, he cheats. Christian ruins everything. It just, I don't know. It's, and now, like you said, it kind of feels like a waste because we're going to have a redo.
Well, and then, you know, post-match, we get, you know, Nana and Swerve come out to confront Moxley, and Swerve does his jump off the railing. So to me, that kind of, then that telegraph what's going to happen next week with Moxley probably retaining.
Yeah, pretty much. But I think that telegraphs it anyway. Though, my only hope is, and I don't know what it would be, so mind you, I don't actually have the what could it be, but I could see them putting a twist on that match where someone, like, they set up Copeland's next storyline.
Yeah, Switchblade.
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm going to show up and try to help and have
my thing is not even try to help.
You hit him on purpose this time?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is Switchblade's kind of getting over as a face. So, like, how do you do that? But I do like the Switchblade is staying around the main event scene, though, because he is that level. Big G's saying they might have had Christian cash in, so Cope didn't have to take the pinfall. I don't think Cope's against taking pinfalls, though.
No.
He's lost enough in his career that I don't think he's a guy who's like, I won't take a loss. It really felt to me like twofold. Yes, I do think there was they might not have wanted him to take the pinfall, but that was probably like a more of a creative thing of like him being able to say, I wasn't beat. So maybe you're right. If you're saying it that way, Big G, I agree. If you're saying it was because the guy Copeland doesn't want to take a pin, I don't agree. The next thing is, I think they did want to get the contract off of Christian. He clearly is not for the main event, so, or the title right now, nor should he be. They need to get rid of it. Scott George suggesting Josh Alexander debuts, I guess, as part of the Death Riders. I'd be okay with that. It would spice up the story a little bit. I keep thinking, like,
I just want the Death Riders to disband.
I do too. Don't get me wrong. That would be my ultimate. The only thing I'm going to say is, and we're not there yet, so this is not me saying this has hit this level or that it's going to go this way. Mike Peterson's just trying to troll in the chat. You troll. But in theory, you look at, okay, Big G was saying he thinks it was TK. Oh, that I can agree with. Big G, the TK said, I don't want Cope to take a pin. Storyline wise, so that he could say I wasn't beat. I can agree with that. I'm not saying I like it, but I can at least understand where you're seeing that and where that decision could come from. But as I was saying, I think I look back at the Bloodline story in WWE. And to me, I'm comparing it because it was the biggest story in WWE for how many years? And the biggest story in wrestling for how many years? And there were long stretches of that. Soon after it started, even, long stretches of that where it was like, please end this. And it wasn't a knock on any other performers or anything. They just didn't. It felt kind of like the Death Riders. And this isn't me comparing quality here, by the way. This is me just saying the feeling of fans. Where like it felt like the Death Riders thing where like there was no... There seemed like no direction in the Bloodline. And then they would have periods where it was like, okay. Like you'd have Sami Zayn's story. And then Sami Zayn's died. Like you had... So it can always... And the reason I say is it can always turn around if they find the right mix. I don't know if they will.
No.
But there's a chance. That's all I'm saying.
They've lost me. Can they deviate so much from what the whole mission of the Death Riders, which is like take on almost the younger talent in the locker room who they thought weren't, you know, carry themselves like the wrestlers that they believe they should act as. And when they ran through a lot of the young guys, all of a sudden, like, you have this old veteran come and be the first real, like, legit challenger, that's where it lost me a little bit. I felt like it strayed from trying to get one of the younger guys to step up and overcome them.
So, I agree with you on the way it's played out. Like, I don't think you need the... I think there's a story in which the old guys try to step in and make it happen. And then they fail, and a young guy has to be the one to do the solution. This isn't... That's not the story they've been telling. So I'm not saying that's what's going on. It did seem like Cope was the most... Cope seemed like the most, I'm blanking on a very common word. I hate when I do that. Realistic threat to the title, I guess we've had. Realistic isn't the word I'm looking for, but it's the closest. A better story would have been like, the Death Riders eliminate hero after hero of certain generation of wrestlers. Not old guys, but like the Orange Cassidy. I still think Orange Cassidy should have been the ultimate hero of the story, but that's a whole different discussion.
Oh, I agree.
But because he's to me the most AEW out of everyone. But you know, the story should have been like they eliminate Orange since they wanted to eliminate. They eliminate Orange Cassidy. They eliminate Darby. They eliminate. I know Darby's the eventual solution, but maybe not eliminate him. They eliminate Orange Cassidy. They eliminate. I'm blanking on other young guys, and that's stupid. Well, but they eliminate.
Like Hook involved early on.
Yeah. Hook, when they eliminate Switchblade, they eliminate all these younger guys who are trying to like make their way up, and then no one's willing to step up to them, so Cope steps up, and it's almost played as like, why, like, not in that he's the hero, that like, all right, you know, like those 80s action movies, this is where my brain's going, and how like the hero's mentor somehow steps up to help the hero for a bit and then gets beat to hell. So then the hero has to come back. So it could almost have been like Darby or whoever the ultimate hero was, wouldn't listen to Cope, wouldn't help Cope, wouldn't take Cope's advice. So Cope just tried to do it on his own and gets destroyed. Not like, you know what I'm saying? And then that, you know, pumps them up for that guy to go and be like, you destroyed my hero. I'm going to go destroy you. So that's the, but instead they made it that like, all you young whippersnappers aren't good enough, so let me step in.
And I know Kate said this before when she's been on here, but like this story really is made to have someone like Eddie Kingston be a foil to Jon Moxley and the Death Riders. Like, to have him be like a leader of the opposition.
Yeah, I mean, so Big G's is, by the way, I agree with you on the Eddie Kingston. He is the most AEW, even though he was not an original. He somehow is the most original AEW wrestler who wasn't, but he's one. Though he would have the ultimate heel turn as if he, like, you do run that, like, he could be the hero, he could be the heel. Like, that is a fun thing. Hi, Kylie. First of all, I want to say hi to Kylie. Big G comparing what I was saying to Rocky III. I was actually thinking Roadhouse. Now, granted, Dalton didn't need his mentor's help, like, in terms of, like, he didn't need the motivation, but the mentor does die. So, like, that's where I was thinking. But what was his name? What is that guy's name? Very famous. Sam. Is it Sam?
Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott. Yeah, there you go. Terry Funk in that movie. But that's where I was thinking. But either way, it was made for an Eddie Kingston, but I will forever say Orange Cassidy was the one. They started to tell that story, and they rushed it.
Yeah, and that Orange Cassidy back to being Orange Cassidy again.
Yeah, they rushed it. I think because they had nominated or decided that Darby is the answer to that story from day one. So they're just biding time until he's climbed the mountain and come back down, literally. But my thing is, you had the story of they separate him from his friends because he's afraid of his friends getting hurt. And he just wants to go it alone. And he can't, it's like a Sting NWO story, but the ending is different because not necessarily the ending, but the Sting NWO story was a Sting went out on his own because everyone betrayed him. In this one, it's because he doesn't want his friends to get hurt. And the end is that the power of friendship beats the Death Riders. And they just wouldn't do it. I'm very upset about that.
Enough about the main event. What else? What other matches kind of piqued your interest, or anything that surprised you, or did you have a sleeper match that caught your attention that you weren't expecting to be as good as it was?
I don't know if anything exceeded expectations. There was, It was banger after banger after banger for a while there. Osprey, I don't like that the cage got broken into in the Osprey-Fletcher match, but the match ended up being incredible. I mean, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. The Spanish fly off the top is just silly. We knew Omega versus... What I liked is the three main matches that get credited for... Actually, we'll do all four, but the three main that get credited for being awesome. Tony versus Mariah, Omega versus Takeshita, and Osprey versus Fletcher, all were very different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, Osprey versus Fletcher had blood, but being in a cage, it just has a different feel because you're using the cage and stuff. Takeshita versus Omega was just a straight up good match. That wasn't like, it was more technical, I guess you call it. Like, it was just more standard, like, such an amazing standard match. No special rules. And then, of course, Tony and Mariah. So, like, that's what I really appreciated, was that every match had a different... All their great matches had a different feel to it. I guess that's where I'm... what I appreciate. How about yourself?
No, you're on. I think Tony and Mariah are my favorite. Osprey and Fletcher was my second favorite, and then Takeshita and Kenny was my third. I was interested to hear what you thought of Mercedes and Momo, since it was the second time you've seen them wrestle. What did you think of it compared to the song at Capital Collision?
So it was very good. I think Capital Collision might have been slightly better, but then again, I was there, so it's really hard for me to... There's always something different about a match you see in person. Like, you get a different feel for it. They were incredible. I almost added them as, like, the four matches. The only reason I didn't is because I feel like that gets lost. I think a little bit of that is that Momo is not AEW. So people, like, there was the emotional attachment to it that, like, you have for the others. But it was an exceptionally good match. I mean, Mercedes works well with the women who have worked in Japan. Like, she has a really good style. I like the Billy Starks cutting, you know, her taking notes and stuff. I think that's a nice way to weave things in. I don't mind that they're bringing in, like, someone from the outside to wrestle Mercedes. I actually think it makes, like, while there's no emotional attachment to the actual match itself, it makes her feel bigger. That, like, women from other promotions from across the world are coming to wrestle her. Kind of makes her feel larger than life. Like, yeah, you're coming to see me. So I really, really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what she wanted to do from day one in AEW, right? Was to wrestle across the world and have global competition. I mean, so yeah, wrestling people from down in Mexico, wrestling people in Japan.
Yeah. So, like, I really liked the match. Again, she sorry, it's all an Evil Luno tweet. And it's just that he's co-workers with Speedball Mike Bailey. I really liked the match. The only reason I didn't put it top three, and I think the other three had the emotional investment of, like, a fan being like, I bought into this story. Whereas with that one, I'm buying into the bigger story they're telling of Mercedes. I'm confused by Jesse's comment. Is Ryan about to go full Backstreet? I don't know what that means.
Never go
full everybody. Back.
But you know what? Yeah. It's telling that this pay-per-view, like, we talked about these four matches, and we're still not talking about Heyman and MJF, Ricochet and Swerve. Like, and that tells you how low the card was.
Holy shit. You're right, because, oh, I said larger than life, because they could easily be, like, yeah, maybe they were, I could see MJF and Hangman or Ricochet and Swerve being someone's favorite match over, like, say, Ospreay or Fletcher. I think Omega and Takeshita, universally what I saw was on everyone's card. Same with Tony and Mariah. So it's really that third one if you want to do top three. So if you told me any of this, MJF, I love that it was clean. Like, give me that, give me, and what we'll talk about tonight, the development that gives the characters is amazing. Like, that is why you had Hangman went clean. Swerves was fun because you thought halfway through the match, is not going to turn? Because they were kind of hinting at it, but then he didn't, and you had the dance after with the whole crowd doing it, which was a great visual. So, I really enjoyed those two matches. You're right. This was a stacked card. It's a shame. I feel like the main event is weighing everyone down, but it's essentially, it's a bad end. It's like a bad ending of a movie. You can love a movie, but if the ending sucks, you're going to think the movie sucks. Now, no one thinks the pay-per-view sucked, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you, the thing you leave on is what you remember. And people remember being like, this is boring. I don't know. But we can discuss our show tonight in a few minutes. But first, we are members of the Shining Wizards Network. We are proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, but there's a lot of great shows on there, and we think you should hear about them. But instead of hearing me talk more, because I will do a terrible job of hyping them up, as is very obvious. So we're going to go on a quick commercial break while you listen to these shows, but please stay there because we'll be right back to talk about tonight's Dynamite, and Joe's got some really big hot takes. I just know it.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's T-H-E-B-R-O-K-A-S-T, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs, I'm talking Jacks, I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining
Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe!
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster.
I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rope podcast. They're funny guys. That I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. Podcast for two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Banks? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Rowe, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit! I don't know what you're doing.
You got a slight one in there.
If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there.
A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
We are back, and for those unaware, Joe made the best timing I've ever seen of anyone returning from break right as the commercial ended. It was impressive, and he didn't even have his headphones in, so how he timed it out, I don't know.
I'm a professional.
That was well done. I'm going to give you credit on that where credit is due. So tonight, we are going here to talk about AEW Dynamite.
Oh, you want to pull up the t-shirts? I just want to hear you describe them.
We have four t-shirts, guy. ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkOrderPod. You can find a link tree on our socials. Four t-shirts. Hold on. Logo, front, words, front, words, front, logo, back. Logo, words, pocket corner with words on back. I think it's words on back or logo on back. I don't remember what's on back.
Logo.
Logo on back. There you go. I just plugged them for you. Is that good?
Perfect. I missed it.
Perfect. All four. Logo on front, words on front, logo on front, words on front, logo on back, or vice versa, and corner pocket. There you go. Nailed it. That's how I sell t-shirts. I don't understand how anyone else would do it. Yeah. Clearly, I know what I'm doing by all those t-shirts we move.
I mean, but maybe you should wear one and we'll dump a bucket of water on you and see if that turns into numbers.
No. I saved that for the OnlyFans.
More like OnlyFan? You have like more than one?
There's at least three weirdos out there.
True.
But we are here to talk AEW Dynamite. Kenny Omega was the first one out. Talks about how he was happy to be back in the ring and that he was a wrestler and he wasn't sure that he'd ever win, you know, a title again, not let alone a singles title. It seemed like he thought that wouldn't be a possibility. He then goes on to thank Takeshita for pushing him and forcing him to be a better wrestler and saying, hey, there's this tournament for my belt. Which were, you know, there is an international tournament, so have fun, everyone. As he's walking out, the ops make their arrival, which is relevant because Shibata is in the international tournament. Any comments on the Omega words?
You know, listen to Kenny's promo just to officially set up this whole tournament for his title belt. I thought two things. One, no one gives a humility promo better than Kenny. Like, he always gives the, you know, I, you know, I don't know if I'm good enough or worthy enough type of thing, even though he's kind of massive, serious thing, but like he's Kenny Omega. Like he is obviously going to win another championship, and he was obviously going to, you know, do all these great things if he was able to get back here. So he always does a great promo, being appreciative. And I thought he did a good job of putting Takeshita over. So hopefully that will keep his momentum going even after the loss. But yeah, and then it sets the stage for this tournament that we have to find the contender, which will probably be like Ricochet or something.
Exactly. So that's I mean, you kind of
Ryan looks perplexed.
Explain that later. There wasn't a lot to it. It was nice, but it really was just to set up the tournament and why the tournament matters. But it is cool seeing Kenny with the title. There are rumors they may try to consolidate the titles. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'd rather them. I think there's way. I understand people are like, there's too many titles. They are probably one title too many. So I guess I could see that. You could have. Well. No, I disagree. Because you have four men's titles. I don't know. I feel like if they used them better, you wouldn't have too many. That's where I'm going to say that. But that's just my. My humble opinion.
What that told me basically was that Kenny probably isn't going to wrestle for a while. He'll probably take some time off until they have until Dynasty. And
yeah, I
you're very bouncy there.
Oops. I need my desk. Yeah, you're right. You know, probably not going to wrestle for a while. Though, I believe when Orange Cassidy wrestled Kenny to face Takeshita, I think I made a prediction at that point. Do you remember what my prediction was?
I don't remember yesterday.
Cassidy was going to end up wrestling Omega.
Okay.
I think that's going to come true.
I'm not mad at it.
That was my prediction then. That's my prediction now. We then have the Ops, Hook, Shibata, and Samojo versus Eli Theseus, Gabriel Arrows, and Vinny Pacifico, who I'm a big fan of. I don't think this would surprise anyone to say this was not a close match. This is what we call a beatdown. What I like is that they do seem to be devoting a lot of time to the trios division. That's where I'm like, even though this is a squash, it's a squash in an effort to help the trios division.
Yes, that's my main takeaway. That's my main takeaway. And also, RIP to Vinny's broken tooth.
Oh, did he break his tooth? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he had some part of his tooth fell off.
Yikes. I guess that's what you get for being a wrestler. We then move on to Ricochet cutting a promo where he kind of does like the typical heel thing. I didn't want that robe anyway. And then saying that he thinks that title, that Omega's title, the international title, will look good on him, so he's in the tournament. I don't think there's a lot here, but I just liked the I didn't want that robe anyway.
Yeah, I mean his I'm glad his character still translates out even outside of this feud with Swerve.
Yeah. They then do a quick backstage from After Revolution where Swerve and Copeland had a face-to-face, and Copeland said, I wasn't pinned, so I'm going to get another shot. So who knows, you may be wrestling me for the title, but if it's not me and you win that title, know that you are then going to be wrestling me. There was nothing here. This was literally just, I think it was a way to put Swerve on the show.
Yep.
Okay. We then have a John Moxley promo. And it's a weird promo overall. He says like he underestimated Copeland and his resolve. but basically that he's going to break him. I do appreciate that at one point he called him like the world's greatest opportunist or something, which I did appreciate it is a heel move or a dick move to be like, you know the nickname. You're just not going to say it. I liked the promo. I don't like the program it's in, so I don't care. Like, that's where, like, I actually kind of like what he was saying. I just don't care about the program.
I find it hard to imagine that he underestimated Copeland's resolve and his grit. Like, that's what he's been known for. Like, I don't know how you would underestimate that.
Well, that's kind of why I think part of me doesn't like it, is like, you're talking about a guy who's been around since the 90s. Like,
and he's proven himself. Moxley's not like a dumb hill. Like, he knows the game. He knows the history of it. He studies it. And, you know, his character, like, he's a smart character.
So yeah, the only thing I could say is that he could have gone in the effort of, like, I didn't think you still had that in you.
Sure.
Like, that's a weird place to go where you could say, like, I thought due to your age, you didn't have it. Clearly you do. But.
So are you saying that on this day that John saw it clearly?
He did. On this day. Listen, I still like Cope in AEW. I think the Cope and Challenge is one of the best things they did for a while there. People shit on his promos. I don't mind his promos. I think he's a very natural speaker. I just don't want him in this program. Like, I don't think I think he's better suited. There's a lot of programs for him. I just don't think this is the one. And he doesn't have to lose every program. Like, I know, like, a lot of people have complained that that old guy should always lose to the young guys, put the young guys over. But I don't agree with that. Like, if the old guy's still giving you something, they can win some too. But it's just not in the main event. You can put him wherever. I don't know. We then move on to a weird tag match of Brian Cage and Dralistico versus Hologram and Powerhouse Hobbs. Now, the interesting thing here is Cage and Dralistico were accompanied by Beast Mortos, while Hologram and Powerhouse Hobbs were accompanied by Harley Graham. So I do appreciate that. That made me laugh. There was a lot of back and forth. I mean, the only thing I'll say is they set it up well. You had your monster and your luchador, your monster. Like, that is a fun. It wasn't that it was a bad match. It was actually a lot of fun. I just don't understand it. Hologram and Hobbs won by pinfall with the spinning spinebuster from Hobbs on Dralistico. It was what you would expect from a match with one big guy, one high flyer on both sides. Moves where they incorporate that, moves where the small guy gets thrown around, moves where the two small guys go at it. There was one point where Hologram jumped off the top, launched himself off of Hobbs' chest, and flew outside. Like, there's some cool moments. I just don't get the match.
No, this match, when I saw this pairing, I'm like, this is how you know that it's a very light Dynamite this week. And with people being like off or people being hurt, to have this kind of weird mashup of teams. Like, I get Hobbs wanting to face Cage because he's having issues with, you know, him and Archer, right? So I get that part. But it was just a weird thing. And then having Harley Cameron out there just to get her on TV, but, like, basically have her serve as a ringside person, I felt like was a step back for her character. Like, I want her to be, like, on her own still and be, like, very much in the forefront and not play a character on the side.
I agree with that. I think, though, they're almost using her popularity to help Hologram get more popularity. Mike needs to know who Harley Graham is. Mike, that has been revealed. Oh. We learned on TV that it's Harley Cameron. But yeah, I think they're trying to borrow her popularity for Hologram, being like, hey, associate these two. People do like Hologram. It's not like, but like,
you need something. To take him to another level. He kind of like plateaued, in my opinion.
Well, his injury really hurt him,
right?
oh God, I hate the pun that I just made, but because he was really starting to get over and then he got hurt. And it's, so like, I do think the Harley Cameron thing is a way to do it. And Scott's saying that's from 0 hour match on Sunday when Hobbs got powerbombed on the steps by Cage. Kind of, but like all these guys have their own groups. That's what bothers me. Like you didn't have to mix and match the groups. They each have their own groups. Like, I don't know. I'm weird with that. Like, you know, Brian Cage has a tag partner. Jalisco has a tag partner. Hobbs doesn't. So Hobbs makes sense, but on the, it's really on the bad guy side that it doesn't make any sense. No, they all have tag partners.
No, it's Red Ryan. This is a good old fashioned Rampage match. If we had Rampage still.
I agree. I can't argue that. We then go backstage with the Hurt Syndicate, but this is a post-revolution where MVB says, you guys are awesome. You work harder than anyone. Take a break. So these guys aren't going to be on TV this week. They're on break, but MVP will be here. And I was not prepared for where he went with it. We then have a Mariah May Toni Storm highlight package, I guess. Pretty much ending that story for now. Tony, were you going to say something?
I'm just thinking this show is basically a lot of promos and a lot of recaps.
Yes. This, so the odd thing here is, AEW, Kate always said, used to come out with the, they'd have a banger of a Dynamite right after a pay-per-view. Like they'd have a great pay-per-view and a great Dynamite. This reminded me of, I want to call it 1995 WWF, where you'd have a pay-per-view and the entire next night is just, this was the pay-per-view. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't even, because that kind of changed, but that's what this reminded me of. I'm like, you got to give me more than this. But you did have Tony come out and she gives her speech, the highlight, she had glass in her ass. But saying she's
not in black and white either.
Not anymore. They don't do her in black and white anymore, except for the beginning, which I guess I get it. Like that was,
it's old after a while.
Yeah. But before she's done, Megan Bain hits her from behind. Oh, wait, no, she also did have a line of, but when you fire, it's like fighting a zoo. She bleeds like a pig, licks like a giraffe, and she will eat you like a lion. But she's no pussy. No one will hear her meow. But she gets hit from behind by Megan Bain. So clearly Megan Bain's maybe not the immediate challenger, but being lined up to be the challenger. I do and don't like that.
Why don't you like it?
I think Megan Bain's awesome. I've been loving what they've been doing with her. This feels like when they just do challenger of the week stuff for a champion, and usually the person who loses suffers because of it. Like sometimes a person can lose and it helps them and they continue to wrestle and there's no issues. But when the women were doing the challenger of the week stuff, the women that would challenge always just then disappeared for a while. Now, they do something later on tonight that, like, when she interferes in the match at the end, that makes me believe that they don't plan that for her, but that's always my concern.
You know, as you're talking, I'm kind of thinking that I almost would rather have an eliminator tournament for the women's title than for the international title.
Yes. We don't get enough women's. We mainly just do men's tournaments.
Yeah, we'll just see Owen.
Yeah. So then we have our next match, which was a international title tournament qual match. And it was going to be the Beast Mortos versus Wild Card. And I just think it should have been a wrestler introduced as Wild Card. But it was drug named Mike Bailey, Speedball. Because the Speedball is a thing, right?
I mean, I've heard.
I gotta look this up.
I am not of Speedballs. I'm pretty sure it's like a
It's a mixture of, yeah, it's a thing. Okay. It's apparently it's heroin and cocaine.
Yeah.
So, okay. At least in my head, I wasn't wrong. And that's what I think of whenever I'm like, Jesus. But Mike Bailey comes in to, it's Ophelia. It's not Speedball slander. It's what I think of when I see his name. And yes, PG, there is a Marvel character named Speedball, but I think of the drug for some reason. But he did have his first match, and I think Beast Mortis was a great opponent for him. If you haven't seen a Speedball Mike Bailey match, I don't know how to explain his style. There's a lot of kicks, which are awesome. He delivers very realistic kicks. I feel like I say for some reason, because of all the people, I would be the last one, because I think I'd have to start with something else first, and I haven't even done that. Wow, Joe.
So Speedball, using his fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo with his educated feet.
But he does a little bit of the running and a little bit of the flipping and a little bit of the dipping. But he's mostly a striker. And then he likes to have people land on his knees or have his knees land on people. That tends to be a thing. But he won with what he calls this, not what he calls, with what's called a spinning crescent kick. I wouldn't know what a crescent kick is. I just said he won with a kick. A lot of excitement for Speedball. He was in TNA last, killing it. Are you excited for Speedball, and what did you think of the match?
Yeah, I'm glad he finally debuted, and I'm looking forward to a lot of possibilities with some of the matchups here. He has familiarity with a handful of guys on the roster already, but there's a lot that I look forward to seeing. Him and Garcia, him and like Moriarty, like those kind of guys who are kind of similar in build and kind of in style. So do I think he's going to win the four-way match? No, but it's a good way to introduce him to people who might not be familiar. So,
yeah. Big G pointing out something very important that I wish commentary had made note of, that he wrestles barefoot. I don't think commentary made note of that less than 30 times. I get it. It's unusual that a guy wrestles barefoot. So I kind of understand pointing it out, but at some point it's like, guys,
it's not new. Like Marina Shafir was doing it.
You're
wrestling and other people do it.
It's a very MMA
martial arts.
Like anyone who's done extensive martial arts, that tends to be their,
Think about all the things you do bare feet, Ryan. I bet you eat bare feet. I bet you walk around the house barefoot.
Yeah, I'm barefoot right now.
See, look at that.
But yeah, no. So commentary, so Ophelia's in commentary did a pretty good job of telling people why Speedball is a big deal. I agree. They did sell Speedball hard, which I really liked. Jesse does not like his presentation, and I don't understand why.
Well, to be fair, Speedball sell themselves usually.
That's true. If you're looking for a Speedball, you don't need a lot of selling.
He looks like, No way. Speedball presentation gives me, it gives me like Ricky Steamboat vibes. Like the entrance and everything, and like, you know.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I'm thinking about that. Yes,
he's actually like legit, like into martial, like Taekwondo and black belt, but like just the presentation, like the. I don't know. Even like the mannerisms and how he comes out, it felt very much like I was watching Ricky come out in WrestleMania 4.
No, that's actually a very good
It should be the mullet too. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I that's very accurate. I really appreciate it. And by the way, so Jesse's point was that Speedball looks like one of those guys who keeps talking about, I'm assuming he meant Risk Control. And yeah, it's important in wrestling, Jesse, to have Risk Control.
Wrestling and in real wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important for wrestling to have Risk Control. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's, you should have it.
Is that why when people, like some people get promos, they're always rubbing their wrists? They're like, you know what I'm talking about there, right? You've seen
that. Yeah, I do. I'm trying to see. I agree. You know what? You're right. That's why.
We'll go with it.
But, you know, that it's very important for wrestling. I don't know what to tell you. But he won. So he's progressing. We'll see him again. Renee is interviewing the patriarchy backstage. But Christian refuses to talk to her since she's married to John Moxley. And I actually really appreciate that. Like, one of the few people to be like, your husband is the guy that I hate. Like, why would you talk to her? And then he said, he did one of my favorite heel things. He intended to cash it in as a singles against Copeland, but the ref made the decision to call it a trios. And not trios, it's a triple threat. And then he didn't tap out and he was just regulating his, He was just regulating his breathing. All hilarious. But that's when Nick Wayne finally snaps and says he's making up excuses. He's lying to us. He's lying to everyone around him. And he owes him an explanation, apology. Mother Wayne, then Cage shoves Nick. Mother Wayne goes to step in, but he tells her that she'll go back to working at Waffle House. And it looks like Nick Wayne and then Christian takes shots at Nick Wayne's dad. Looks like Nick Wayne's going to have a feud with Christian, and I'm all for it. Thoughts?
No, I feel like they've been building toward this for a while. I mean, he kind of had that ever when Kip came in. He had that kind of jealousy thing. Like, he couldn't, whatever he did wasn't enough for Christian. So, yeah, I think it's logical to eventually break off the patriarchy. I like that Christian was talking about, was dismissing Renee. It's like, you're just a dumb blonde woman, as, you know, Mother Wayne is standing behind him, who's also a big blonde woman. And they all kind of like side-eye Christian as he says stuff. But yeah, I'm all for it because Christian needs to do something right now. So why not feud with Nick Wayne, his prodigy?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. And Nick Wayne needs more matches. So I'm like, not in that he needs the matches to get better. He just needs to have more matches because we want to see him wrestle. So I'm all for that. Then we have a cutscene of what happened after Revolution, where Lexi tried to get into MJF's locker room. She opens the door. She sees him talking to a mirror where he calls himself a fraud, and then he punches the mirror. I loved this. A little bit of the real Max. And then we get him coming to the ring, very orange, like obnoxiously orange, with his lips looking obnoxiously out of color. Said he has a headache, his hand hurts, his body hurts. It was a fluke victory. And then MVP comes out, which is shocking. I didn't think this is where MVP was going to debut. And MVP tells a story that probably is true about how MJF drove him to some shoot just so he could ask MVP questions, and they like each other and there's respect, but MVP thinks MJF needs help, basically, like he's lost his way. MJF, and he pulls out the card. MJF says, I don't need you. I don't need advice from you. I was the longest reigning champion in AEW history. And MJF says, key on the word was, and then hands him the card and says, think about it. Not what I expected. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't see this proposition coming from MVP, but no, it was good. It freshened, it gave us something fresh during the show, and unexpected. I don't see it happening. I can't imagine. It seems like way too much personality with MJF and MVP and, you know, Bobby and Shelton. Like, they all seem like way too much personality on one squad. So, and plus, I mean, we've seen MJF with factions before, and they don't work out well. So But it'll be interesting to see what happens if he rejects the Hurts and the kids, you know, and what that might, what repercussions might come his way.
Agreed. We'll talk a little bit more about MJF in a second because he has another moment that I really like. But I do actually like this. I don't think MJF's going to join the Hurt Syndicate. But it's an interesting twist on the story, one I didn't see coming. We then have Max Caster come out, do his whole thing. I think he claimed his shirt was the top-selling shirt. I don't know if that's true. Doubt it. Says, you know, I need someone to who's going to answer the call. Takeshita comes out. You actually, like, he had a funny reaction. It was almost like an oh shit reaction. And then says, like, you don't want to fight me. I don't, I kill you. Are you here to invite me in the Don Callis family? And then whatever. And then Takeshita drops him with an elbow. Could have pinned him there, but pulls him up, slaps him a bit, and then hits the Falcon Arrow and pins him. What a nothing. I mean, this is what they're doing, Max Caster, so I can't. Any thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, I get why Caster came out and, you know, got his, you know, palate cleanser of a match after the loss to come back and just dominate someone. But yeah, I'm hoping that they can get this whole Max Caster thing wrapped up pretty soon.
Agreed. I really think it's going to be with Bowens at some point, but we then have Jericho cuts a promo on Gravity for his pre-show antics. I made your sister cry. I made your mother cry. Humiliated you. Blah, 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 blah. Any thoughts on this?
No, it's Jericho. He needs to get the... Someone needs to take the title. Bandito needs to take the title off him. Really quick.
Agreed.
He's had too long.
That's yeah, he's. It's just, what are we doing here? But I'm restraining myself. We could go on an AEW. We could go on an ROH rant. Listen, you know ROH is bad when Kate has given up reviewing it. Jesse saying he thinks Max Caster is good at this character. Yeah, Max is good at this character. There's only so many times I want to see this same exact event play out. This reminds me of, I don't know how many years ago now it was. It's a while ago. God, I'm feeling old. When Heath Slater would come out, and then the WWE Legends, it was leading up to like the Raw anniversary or something, and the WWE Legends would come out, and each legend would beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
But that served for the nostalgia pop of like, we're leading up to the Raw anniversary, so we're bringing these guys back. This is how we'll bring someone back per week, and here's your bit of nostalgia. But these guys are all guys fresh in the roster, so I'm like, I don't know what we're doing here. That's just my humble of humble opinions. We then have Penelope Ford versus Willow Nightingale. It's in the old women's spot, so not much change there. And I believe it had the picture in picture and a commercial, the old school feel to it. It was a back and forth match. Never expected Penelope to win, which she didn't. Willow won by pin, but Penelope's role right now isn't really to win. It's to engage in stories that set up Megan Bain. So after the match, Penelope Ford attacks Willow with the chair. Chris Statlander comes out and makes the save. Then Bain comes out and beats them both up.
Yeah, Penelope is like an antagonizer. She is your mill reliever setup man. You're like, no, I'm gonna, you know, poke the bear and rile you up, and then, you know, just to get you ready for some other feud. Also, she should never be involved with any steel chair. Whenever a steel chair comes around here lately, it's not good, whether it's in her hands or someone else's.
Okay, you read my mind. I was like, she did not deliver that well at all.
No, that was like a weird love tap of a chair shot. And like, we love to take a chair shot. Come on.
Yeah, that was bad. There's no other way to say it. That was a bad chair. Like, that was just so light. But So the interesting thing with Megan Bain is that they had her attack Toni Storm, but then they had her attack Willow, and essentially they actually really attacked Chris Statlander. That was her main target. So that's the only thing that gives me hope.
Mm-hmm.
Mike kind of moved. Weird. Is that they're evolving her in two stories.
Well, that's why I was confused when she attacked Toni. Because I thought to myself, well, isn't she still involved with the story with Statlander and Thunder Rosa? Or, you know, wasn't she still involved with that still? That's why I was surprised she, you know, got involved with Toni right away.
Agreed. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where that plays. I like that she's in multiple stories, though. Yeah.
Big G, are you comparing her to Scrappy Doo?
That's hilarious.
I mean, that's basically like, you know, talk big game and hide behind someone bigger.
No, Scrappy didn't try to hide. Scrappy went to fight.
True.
He just would get pulled off by everyone else doing the fight. You know, that. So be fair to Scrappy, the least popular character in Scooby-Doo history. Then we have Renee interview Mercedes backstage with an interesting moment where Mercedes asked Renee to do her catchphrase because Mercedes got hit in the throat. And I will say, Renee did a good job of that catchphrase. And as she's talking, Billy Starks joins. And Mercedes is like, hey, what did you learn from watching my match? And Billy Starks says, I learned not to get kicked in the throat. A little back and forth. But essentially, it's going to end up with Mercedes versus Billy Starks. Thoughts, feelings, emotions?
This right now, this is the match I'm looking forward to most next week. Seeing Mercedes and Billy.
Yeah, I like Billy a lot. Could use a little help on the mic.
Yeah, she's still young in that.
But she's very, very, very good and a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Jesse saying Billy smiles so much, it kills him. Kills you in a bad way or a good way? Because that's part of her character is that she smiles a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just...
That way you have to tell her, that way you have to tell her to smile more, because, you know,
yeah,
women love when you tell them to smile more.
Yeah. So Jesse's saying she needs acting classes. So I don't think the smile is unintentional. I think the smile is an intentional part of her character at the moment. I do think she needs to work on I think she needs a more natural talking. But
it comes with years.
Yeah, she's young.
Yeah.
And with wrestling, you not only have to learn how to be an actor, you have to learn how to wrestle too. So like, there's only so much you can do at once, you know. Then we have,
she's really good at wrestling.
Yeah, very good at wrestling. And like, she was actually really good in the Athena stuff when they had to do all the acting and all.
Yeah, the character,
so like,
study and yeah,
like she was really good with that. So like, I think for her, it depends on what they give her. She's at that stage where like, if you give her the right thing, she nails it. If you like, so part of her stuff with Mercedes tonight was really good. Like, I like the line about like, I learned not to kick someone in the throat. It's what comes after that's still a little bit of a struggle because it doesn't feel as natural from her. But, you know, eventually a wrestler finds a way to be natural with all that stuff they say. You got to remember how young she is versus like everyone else. Because like Nick Wayne has the same issue. He's not always the best speaker because that's just how it is. We then have another interview. This one was wild. Will Ospreay came out to the ring to talk to Shivani. Talks a little bit about his match. Puts Kyle Fletcher over, saying like he had to give it his all to keep up with Kyle Fletcher at that age. Like, that's at Kyle Fletcher's age. Like, that's wow. But his wife is mad at him because she told him to not do anything stupid. And of course he did something stupid. And then like, say they'll take her to a nice dinner on Friday and give her a who's who and what's for. Then says he wants a title, and he basically looked at the All In Texas sign like it was a WrestleMania sign. And said he's going to enter the Owen Hart tournament, so he's a chance to wrestle it all in for that belt. Thoughts, feelings, emotions?
It was an wild Ospreay promo to tell us, yeah, that he's taking time off and he'll be back, and when he does, he'll be back to Owen. That's what I got from it. The whole story about his wife thing, I mean, that's just a lot of added fluff in there, but I got what I needed out of it, I guess. I was a little disappointed that he built Kyle up that much, like not to the fact that he didn't respect him, but I felt like it was such a blood feud of a match where it's like Kyle's going out there like screaming, I effing hate you at the end, you know, and Will's doing the tiger driver on him. But he comes back out tonight like, oh yeah, you know, bruv, Kyle, you made me push me to my limits, man. And I hope to see you down the road. Like it didn't feel like the same energy of the match, you know? Like I felt like the anger and the emotion of that match didn't carry over.
Agreed. But then again, that's also kind of Will Ospreay, where he's just like that like super happy dude. Switchblade then gets interviewed by Renee. She had a busy night. And he's also wants to be the number one contender. So that's really not a lot there, but that's what he said.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing you want to be the number one contender, don't you, Ryan?
No.
Oh, you don't want to get wrestled at All In?
I get my ass kicked.
Don't know if you don't try.
No. I'm certain.
You have an amateur wrestling background.
I do, but I'd still get my ass kicked.
No risk control.
I do know risk control. I still get my ass kicked. And then we have Renee, who was, like I said, super busy. She goes to interview Hangman, but sees MJF walk. They hit each other, and she just books it, which is hilarious to me. Like, I want no part of this. Hangman speaks first and said, like, hey, you tried to light me on fire, but you didn't. And I think you have to really believe that when you do it, and you let your mask slip and you care what people think. Like, I've seen the real you. MJF counters with, I've also seen through your mask, and you don't think you deserve these people, people's love, and you don't. But I'm going to win that title again, and you're going to get close and fail. Obviously, it was a little more heated. Actually, this has been, the feud with Hangman has been the best thing that could have ever happened for MJF. I've loved the promos coming out of it. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like it's refocused him more so than his past feuds. And also, it's a nice way to, you know, keep them apart for now, but you know they're going to come back around for the title later on. So it's nice to keep building on this history they have together. And the fact that they both can see each other's vulnerabilities, like when we saw MJF's earlier in the night with him, you know, yelling at himself in the mirror opposite of Stuart Smalley. I think it was really interesting to see how similar and how different the characters are.
Yes. Well, it's MJF desperately wants love, but does nothing to earn it. Hangman is love, but doesn't believe he deserves it. It's like that. But gosh darn it, people like him. Yeah, I got your reference.
Okay.
Oh, look, we got a random Kate in the chat, probably from her 1,000th walk of poor sick dog.
I was more excited to see Meet Normus in the chat because
Normus hurt my heart because he said NBA action was good tonight, and it wasn't. The Sixers are in tank mode, so you know. But it's not like the Knicks are going to win anything, so I'm not really worried about that.
We're still better than the Sixers. I'll take that,
my guy. Can I tell you something? I'm being 100% honest here. This isn't me lying. On a given season, I'm not saying the trajectory. If you're not going to win it, I'd rather get a very high pick, because the worst thing to be in basketball is mediocre.
What's in sport?
Basketball is one of the worst, because you look at football, mediocre, you could still get some decent picks. Baseball, hockey, you could still get some decent picks at mid-round, first round. In basketball, if you don't get like a top five pick, you're getting no one.
Gosh, we have Wizards fans, Hornets fans. We got some bad basketball in this chat.
We do. Ooh. So I'm just saying, I don't care that the Knicks are better than the Sixers, because they're not going to win it, which means they're just doing themselves a disservice, which has been my problem with the Sixers, is that they've gotten no one. The best player they've gotten in recent years is, well, no, Maxey was high pick and McCain was high pick, but like, then they go out and get Paul George. It's like, guys, don't be mediocre.
Let's just throw money away. Paul George, yeah. Hardenstein, you know.
Oh, God. So then we come to our main event of Hechicero versus Orange Cassidy. For this was an international championship number one contenders tournament match. As we've seen from Hechicero, this is why I say it fast, because I will butcher it if I say it slow. This is why when we've seen Hechicero in the past, he's a beefy technical guy. He's very good. Like, that's why he was going against. Hold on a second. Is this true that you get a free piece Wizards? You get a free Wizard sticks when you buy a 4-piece above at Popeyes? Because that's amazing. But he's, for a big beefy man, he's technical, which I have problems with, because you shouldn't be technical as a beefy boy. As a beefy boy, I have issues with that. Cassidy did a couple of his no hand stuff tonight, used it as a means of annoying Hechicero, which I really appreciate when he does that, and he shows the psychology. It's not true about the Wizards thing. Damn it. I don't care that I'm going off track. When the Flyers used to own the Sixers and I had Flyers season tickets, they'd give me free Sixers tickets, because that's when the Sixers were really, well, actually that's when the Sixers were just mediocre and no one wanted to go.
Ben Simmons time or before Ben Simmons?
No, that was before Ben Simmons. That was before the process.
God, who's your star player at the time then?
Andre Iguodala.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
They were like seventh seed, not getting out of the first. If they got out of the first round, it was a miracle. That's what I'm saying. That's the worst position to be in sports. They weren't getting good picks, and they weren't doing anything. So, like, there was less people there than there was during the process, because at least in the process, people saw a potential.
Never forget you drafted Sean Bradley in the lottery.
Luckily, I was alive, but not thinking. I was thinking. I just didn't know enough about basketball then to know that was a bad move. I just saw a giant ass man. I thought, ooh, big player. Yes, BG, it was post-Iverson, pre-process. But anyway, the coolest thing I saw here was that with his hands in his pockets, Orange Cassidy did that pinfall attempt, which I think was like he took out the knee of the leg and rolled them up, and it was really cool. But otherwise, you know, a typical good match between two guys that you, what you would think. Orange Cassidy won with a mousetrap after the match. Speedball McBailey came out and was basically, hey, you and I are going next week, so get ready. Josh Ashero, what did you think?
Ooh, nice. Yeah, I think it was a typical Orange Cassidy match where he kind of, you know, fussed around and found out later on when, you know, Ashero finally caught up to him and started working on the arm and the leg. And then Orange got a little bit more serious and less, you know, hands in pocket. No, it was fun. It was an odd main event match. I don't know what else you put there, though, but it was just an interesting match, because I thought maybe Ricochet or someone was going to come down and, like, jump him. But we got the speedball confrontation just, like, popping out to set up next week. That's fine. They give us more TV time. But
for a debut, I think that worked well. I don't usually like that, but for a debut, I think that had a kind of trying to show like this guy matters, because I don't think he's going to beat Orange Cassidy.
No. They're doing a four-way match, though.
Oh, that's right. You're right. But I don't think he's winning the tournament, I should say. I have Orange Cassidy winning the tournament. And that's with to have my prediction of Orange versus Omega come true. But Speedball will come out looking very good. Oh, meet Norrisman Iverson on his 21st birthday, not his best look. I bet you Iverson was just as wasted. So that was our Dynamite for March 12th. What did you think, Joe?
It was about 2.5 buttons for me.
Hold on.
I don't know if you want to round up or round down.
So this or this? This
or this? Okay, 2.
So this. Okay. I'm going to go with a 3.
That tracks.
For me, if you're getting a 3 on like a post, Scott thinks it was terrible. If you're getting a me on a 3 on a post pay-per-view Dynamite, you actually didn't deliver that well. That's just there were certain things I liked, but I think Speedball is swaying my opinion, and I liked the main event. So like those things are pulling me from the dark side.
Because next week we have the street fight with Moxley and Cope. We have Mercedes and Billy Starks. We have the four-way match for the international title, Dynasty tournament thing. So those are 3 decent matches already for next week, right? So,
yeah, we're going to have something. Next week should be better. Apparently, Megan Bain made it a 6.9 out of 8 on the Tokyo Dome scale. Someone's called Miss Kate Fabe said a lot of top guys talking. That's really like, I look through the show and I'm like, Renee segment, Shivani's. It was a lot of talking. Kate has a good point. Very beat up. Rumors that Swerve had busted his ear or something. I think that came out. Clearly but, Ospreay feeling his wounds.
Yeah, I think it did what it needed to do though, as far as like resetting what's ahead for the women's title picture, the international title. Now they're looking for tag team title contenders, which I think they need to build a story with a team to go up against them, because I don't want the Hurt Syndicate just to beat random opponents here and there like they do sometimes with other belts. So that's good. And I'm glad they kind of reset some of those things.
Agreed. That's the one thing. Like, I prefer a better post pay per view Dynamite, but there is something to be said that they use it to set up a lot. Because they got a lot coming up. You got Dynasty and then All In. So, like, yeah, you gotta take care of it. So Joe, like
July,
yeah, July 12th.
You have pay per view in May and June then.
Oh, they probably do. I forget which one it was. What's there? Something's there. Hold on.
Revolution? No, we have Revolution. World's End? Where? I'm just throwing that.
Double or Nothing in May.
Okay.
So you don't have one for June, but you do have Double or Nothing in May.
Okay.
So you have Dynasty in April, Double or Nothing. Dynasty in Philly in April. You have Double or Nothing in May. And then you have All In. All In. That's right. I did a MVP style thing. So, Joe, that's our show.
It was.
Which begs the question, Joe, who just did our show. These people need to know.
You're going to keep running?
Screw you. No, Kate made fun of my way of saying home. Even from the chat, she shits on me. It's very mean.
Shit on by a lot of people in the chat tonight.
I know. It's just me versus the chat. I'm going to have to fight them all.
People are going to ask you last week for your birthday, and then now it's like normalcy again.
This is what I expected, to be quite honest, just meanness. Mm-hmm. I'll have to fight everyone. It's just going to be bad. But that being said, when you're not here on our show, Joe, people need to know where to go.
I tried to do something clever to say, but it's too late now.
Oh.
On social media at _AsianJoe, and you can also find my links to my serial review blogs in my bios on my social media. I just posted one this past weekend on the Friends serial. So if you're interested in wanting to know what Ross Geller tastes like, read the serial review.
So be there for Joe. Get it? Get it?
I get it.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Got it.
Where
go check out his serial blog. You can't avoid me. I'm everywhere. But if you're not trying to avoid me, at Mark Order Pod on all socials, I run our socials, so you can interact with me there. Or you can follow my history blog, hereforhistory.com, at _hereforhistory on Twitter, hereforhistory on Blue Sky. I will have a new one coming out maybe end of this week or more likely early next week when I get done editing. So with that, I want to thank the chat, Big G, Jesse, 2LT, Meet Normus, Not Kate, Ophelia, Scott. I know Plugalo doesn't get anything. And anyone I'm forgetting. Oh, Mike Peterson. So thank you all for hanging out. It's always fun when you're in the chat. And with that, I put on the outro overlay. And I hit play.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now